come in and they want to audit the staff for the viewpoints of the faculty, the student body. They want to reduce the power of students, faculty and administrators. That's why they're withholding more than $1 billion in aid to Harvard University. They are threatening to go after people who don't support Donald Trump, who don't openly espouse admiration for what he's doing, and potentially even strip them of their citizenship and send them into El Salvador's gulag. It is an astonishing place for the United States to have reached.
And as you have reminded us many times, it's only one of the stories worthy of those superlatives, or if that's quite the right word, but those incredibly powerful language. Simon Marks, I know you've got another appointment imminently, so I shall thank you now for that and remind you listening that, you know, not only that, of course, he released and pardoned all of the people who were attacking police on January the 6th, but also that it's not about law and order. Fascism always claims to be about law and order, but as Simon just reminded you, the same people will be making up the laws. The people that hid Anne Frank's family were breaking the law, and the people that betrayed them to the authorities were following the law. And it's not by accident that Simon uses words like gulags. But, you know, hey-ho, I can't remember what it is that you're celebrating. Is it still owning the libs? I forget. Is it what? I don't know, but, you know, well done. It's 12 noon.
On your radio, on Global Player, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, a union leader has told LBC that bin strikes could absolutely spread beyond Birmingham. The indefinite walkout is continuing after members of Unite voted to reject a new council pay offer yesterday. Ministers have urged the union to accept the deal. But Unite's General Secretary Sharon Graham says they've failed to understand the dispute.
When you've got a situation where workers are faced with losing £8,000 in pay, when they're faced with that, and another set of workers have been told that they may do that too because of bad decisions not made by them, but made by this council, I don't know what the government think these workers are going to be able to do. How are they going to pay their mortgages? How are they going to pay their rent?
Raw materials secured by the government have arrived in the UK to keep British Steel blast furnaces burning. Materials from two ships are being unloaded at the port of Immingham. British Steel says it offers great hope for the future at Scunthorpe after ministers took control from its Chinese owners. A man's been arrested on suspicion of murder after an explosion at a house in Nottinghamshire. The body of 53-year-old David Howard was recovered from the debris of a property in Worksop on Saturday evening. The suspect's been bailed while further inquiries continue. The Foreign Secretary, David Lammy, has blamed a lack of political will for the continuing civil war in Sudan. His counterparts from around the world are meeting in London to discuss the peace process. It's 2 years since the conflict began. Mr. Lammy has announced £120 million in new aid, but says it won't end the devastating violence.
Very simply, we have got to persuade the warring parties to protect civilians, to let aid in and across the country, and to put peace first.
Figures show businesses cut workers at the fastest pace since the start of the pandemic in March. The number of people on payrolls fell by nearly 80,000 over the month, while job vacancies also hit a four-year low. Wage growth remained high at 5.9% in the 3 months to February. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was up 63 at 81.97. The pound buys $1.32 and a euro 16. LBC weather, rain continuing across central and southern areas this afternoon, but staying dry in the north with some sunny spells in places, a high of 18 Celsius. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Lotto's big Easter bank holiday jackpot isn't just any jackpot. It's big. Like, big, big. Like, big! Sorry. £15 million must be won this Saturday. Lotto from the National Lottery. Play on app. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
At Pension B, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionb.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
4 minutes after 12 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. OK, a complete change of pace now, and a visit to what is, I think, by most measures, the shallow end of the news. But it's a curious topic, and it is a topic quite close to my heart, and for somewhat embarrassing reasons. It's a remarkable social change. You know, some massive changes happen by parliamentary edict, or rather by legislation. And you look back and you think, why did we ever do things differently? So I would put the smoking ban on that list. I try to explain to young people how, omnipresent? Anyway, how smoke was just absolutely everywhere when I was their age. They can't quite get their head around it. I remember my mate's dad driving us to school with the windows shut and chain smoking all the way there. And if we opened the windows in the back, he'd tell us to close them because he was cold. It was like, there's a wonderful thing in 2000 AD. I always refer back to Judge Dredd when I'm thinking about the smoking ban, because they had it was like a smokearium or whatever it was called. And the people who were still addicted to nicotine would have to go into this sort of hermetically sealed bubble, and I don't even know that you'd need to light up a cigarette. You'd just be able to go in there and passively smoke everybody else's. And it was a wonderful example of science fiction sort of getting dystopia correct. The prediction of how outrageous smoking was and would be seen to be, but made at a time when it was not. It was not perceived as being as disgusting as it often is now. Not always. Some people still do it. I don't want to go after you. I'm just pointing out that social change is extraordinary when you get to my age, and you can't quite believe the completeness of the U-turn that society has taken. Some people were resistant to the idea of making seatbelts compulsory in cars, which is almost impossible to believe until you look at people today who hate being told what to do, whatever it may be. So these were, I'm trying to think of other examples of it, which are not legislative, which are just in the way that we look at things. I told you I was in Ireland at the weekend, and the brilliant tour guide we had on the Viking Splash tour was running through church attendance in Ireland as we drove past some notable churches, and how it has gone off a cliff. And of course, I think a large part of that will be the child sex abuse scandals that have riven the island of Ireland in recent years. And you sort of think that I never thought that would have happened. In 1972, a teenager in Southern Ireland, or in the west of Ireland, no, in Southern Ireland, so southeast, it doesn't matter where it was, she got pregnant, and it was me. And because the church had such a stranglehold on society in Ireland in 1972, she had to come to this country and give me up for adoption. And you look at the change in Ireland over that period. In some ways now, they feel a bit more, well, a lot more backwards than we do. Economically, we've swapped position in terms of growth, membership of the European Union, of course, being a huge boon to their economy, and the idea that those roles would be reversed. And speaking of social change, the way that in the United States of America they reversed Roe versus Wade, one of the great victories for humanity, and yet it was reversed by, I don't want to say the usual suspects. Yes, ubiquitous was the word I was looking for, James, thank you. Not omnipresent, that's a silly word. Ubiquitous is a lovely word. So I'm fascinated by changes, and I'm more fascinated by the changes I've made, the things I can't quite believe I used to believe. I've written a book about it, but this didn't get into the book. Because for reasons I don't fully understand, and I want to explore with you, in the year 2000, have you heard Pulp's new single, by the way? That reference is quite easy to get, isn't it? In the year 2000, I thought it was very important to me when I got married that my wife would take my surname. I wonder how long you've been listening to the programme and whether or not you're surprised by that. I think I still can come across a bit patriarchy sometimes. Nobody's perfect, and I find it hard to shake some of the presumptions and even prejudices that I developed growing up. But I would like to think that if you're a relatively recent arrival on this programme, or the more recent you are, the more shocked you would be to learn that it was actually quite important to me that my wife took my name, and I don't really know why. It may have something to do with being adopted, as I've just alluded to, and being the only son, and therefore the idea of that line somehow petering out, or because by dint of your wife taking your name, then your children do too. And I mean, I'll have to check when I go home, because I didn't know this was going to be in the news today. I don't think that we had heated discussions about it. I suspect that the woman I refer to on the programme as Mrs. O'Brien, but who is not really known by that name in any other context, I suspect that she did what she's done throughout our marriage and just sort of said, yes, dear, while intending to do quite the opposite, regardless of how passionate my feelings may have been. So now, today, just a third. Well, the way it's written in the Daily Mail gives me pause. Not for the first time. Just a third of young British women want to take their partner's surname. I kind of read that, and I've got two daughters. I kind of read that saying, as much as a third? Not just a third. I'm reading it going, what? A third still want to do this really weird and archaic thing that speaks directly to sort of patriarchy and the wife being a chattel that is handed over like an oxen or a donkey from the father to the husband? A third still, that's the word I'd use, a third of British women still want to take their partner's surname when they marry. Daily Mail writes it as if it is a disappointment. A third of men aged between 18 to 34 said that they would feel positively about a man taking their spouse's surname. I suppose if you're going to do it one way, then it should be equally logical to do it the other way. But only 27% of Britons of all ages have a positive view of a man doing it. But the Daily Mail mourns this morning that 2 in 3 young women won't take husband's name. 2 in 3 young women won't take husband's name. To which my response is, how is that bad news? The days of a woman being defined by matrimony or being established by matrimony somehow are largely behind us, aren't they? So, I mean, what the question is here is not immediately clear. I don't think we can do a phone-in on why do men... Well, yeah, we can actually. We can do that. It's two-handed, isn't it? It's a double-pronged question. Why is it bad? For people who don't understand why it's bad, I'll have another crack at explaining that myself in a moment, but you possibly can do a better job. You may have thought about it much more than I have. Why is it bad for a woman to take her husband's name? 0345 6060973. And against the backdrop of it being bad, I'm interested in the question of why you would still want to do it. If you're looking forward to taking your husband's name when you marry or you have recently done it, then why do you think it's good? So we'll do a traditional classic for and against on this one. 0345 6060973. I've gone in the space of 25 years from thinking that I cared about it to thinking that it is completely ridiculous. I mean, truly ridiculous. Logistics and paperwork aside, it's a relatively appalling imposition of a form of ownership upon somebody who is supposed to be your partner, isn't it? Isn't it? 0345 6060973. You could maybe have the, oh, it's just a bit of harmless tradition argument, to which my response would be, so you are perfectly in favour of a man taking his wife's name then, are you? Are you? 0345 6060973 is the number that you need. Why is it so bad, this practice? And why is it so ridiculous of the Daily Mail to be mourning the increase in autonomy and independence that they seem to see as some sort of disaster? There's a big breakdown between the generations. There always is on this kind of thing. Younger women, the most receptive to all manner of alternatives, going double-barreled or keeping your, what used to be called your maiden name, still is called your maiden name. That's part of the problem. Maiden, I think, is a synonym for virgin, isn't it? I think it is. So it's like your virgin name before you got married. Again, you know, we haven't come that far. You'd only have to go back to the Edwardians, probably, if not the Victorians, then that our kind of morality was very different from what it is now, or at least public morality was very different from what it is now. A quarter of younger women would prefer for both husband and wife to keep their original surname. I'm surprised that figure isn't higher. 0345 6060973 is the number that you need. And I wonder who the oldest woman is listening who kept her name when it was actually considered to be quite... What does outre mean, Keith? Is that the right word to use in this context? You're nodding very enthusiastically, but there's a blankness in your eyes. When it was considered to be quite radical, when you decided to keep your maiden name because you were an early feminist, if you like, and you recognised the ridiculousness of... wanting your wife to take your name. I mean, my marriage, I think, and I'm going back 25 years now, believe it or not. I know, she deserves a medal. As soon as it was clear that it was not something that Mrs. O'Brien felt the same way as I did about, I feel my passion diminishing. It's up to her what she calls herself. It's not up to me. But I was open and honest about my feelings. But professionally and personally, she was never really known as Mrs. O'Brien. And that's why I can say now, I can't quite believe that I wanted her to be. I really can't. I mean, travelling at the weekend with different names. And I think as they get older, the girls are more likely to introduce or to have both surnames present in their names. There's certainly no particular sense from my daughters that they need to be affiliated or that they need to carry my name exclusively and not their mum's. 12:16 is the time. I'm looking forward to your calls on this. I really am. A couple of you already asking, what do you think about double-barreled names? Well, I will offend you if I tell you. I think they're largely ridiculous. And I don't know why I think that. Okay, so there you go. I've given myself a big pat on the back for having seen the error of my ways 25 years ago, rejecting patriarchal cliché and recognising that you've got as much right to keep your name after we get married as I have to keep mine. But if we merge them both together, I mean, unless you're really lucky and, like, your name's Tuffington and you marry someone called Buffington, unless you're really lucky and your names lend themselves to a hyphen like a fish lends itself to water, and this is probably my age, I generally find them a little bit naff. Don't you? I mean, it's Toff or Naff, and I'm not sure which is worse. Naff or Toff, Toff or Naff. It's almost a phone-in.
This is LBC.
This Easter at Morrison's, save on fresh Market Street veg, like carrots, swede and even parsnips. That's your Easter Sunday roast, sorted. And all for just 8p each with your more card. From Market Street to your dining table, get Easter sorted for less at Morrison's. Pay less with more card.
Morrison's to shop at Morrison's.
Majority of stores and online Morrison's daily varies. More card are app required. 18 plus. Carrots 1 kilo, 69p without more card. Swede 62p. Parsnips 500 grams, 75p. Max 6. Ends 21st of April.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees. Like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually... maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
I've got the new Samsung Galaxy S25 and so many brownie points. You see, Now Brief with Galaxy AI learns my schedule to keep me ahead of my day. Weather, activity stats and diary updates like Janie's birthday.
Oh, you remembered.
Thanks, Now Brief. Buy the Galaxy S25 on O2 by 4th of June and claim a Galaxy Chromebook Go worth £299. Selected languages only. Account login and network connection required. Claim a Galaxy Chromebook Go in Titan Grey from Samsung within 30 days of purchase. Terms apply.
This is the call of the chiff-chaff. This is the call of the willow warbler. Hear the difference? Thankfully, some things are obvious. Like choosing Interactive Investor for your ISA and personal pension. With 30 years' experience, over 430,000 customers, and a rating of excellent on Trustpilot, the choice is obvious. Search Interactive Investor. Investment values can go down as well as up. You could get back less than you invest.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
19 after 12, and I, here you go. So here's evidence that I have not completely jettisoned my old-fashioned... Is there another word for patriarchal? Is there another... Misogynistic, is it? I don't think... I hope it's not misogynistic. But I was just a bit rude about double-barreled names, and I've got gay friends who've twinned their names together, and I thought that was lovely. So why would I think it was naff when heterosexual friends have done it? Just trying to remember ones that have and work out whether or not there's any likelihood that they'll be listening to the programme at the moment. So that's me being a little bit patriarchal, thinking, oh, it's okay when the fellas do it. It's all right when the lads do it. But not when the lads and the ladies do it together. 12:19 is the time. Jane's in Weymouth. Jane, what would you like to say?
Morning. Afternoon, James.
It's the morning somewhere, Jane.
I was a student of the 70s, second wave feminist, and never, ever, ever thought I would ever, should ever change my name, partly because I thought it meant I belonged to somebody else.
Yes, and well, It did used to mean that.
And lots of my friends who are either in relationships from those times, they didn't change their names either. But what struck me is I have an adult daughter now, and most of her friends who are married have changed their names, which I think is extraordinary.
Yes.
But she, when she got married, they had such long discussions, not arguments, but discussions, and her husband ended up taking her name, not his.
Is it a nicer name?
No, there's no real difference to either name. And
I think if I'd married a woman called Storm, I would have wanted to take. I always wanted to be known as Jake Storm when I was growing up.
Brilliant.
Doesn't that? I think it might be an Adrian Mole thing. I think he maybe had a hero in one of his unpublished novels that was called Jake Storm. But if you had is a really cool surname? I don't know, but it wasn't that. So they decided. So how did that come about? If you don't mind me prying, did he want them both to have the same name?
Yes, because he knew that she didn't have the same name as me.
Right.
Because my children took their father's name.
Sure.
But and that actually has caused a lot of debate since.
Yeah.
So why did I let the kids take his name and not insist that they took my name?
Yeah, well, you could have gone double
barrel. I don't have an answer to that.
No.
Oh, God, no. If you knew my name, you would know that we could not have gone double barrel.
So the two... The couple getting married, your daughter, she was adamant she wasn't going to take her new husband's name, and he felt very strongly that they both had the same name. So the obvious compromise was for them to both take her name.
Yes, and that's exactly what they did. I will say that before they got to that, they tried to make, what would you call it, amalgamations of the two names, not double-barreled.
Right.
But if they'd been called Brown and Smith, they were called... Smibro or something.
Can you do that? Can you invent a new name? Do you have to go to deed poll and stuff to do that?
Well, they would have had to go to deed poll.
Yeah.
I mean, it got that serious.
Gosh.
So
it's still a big deal. It's still a big thing. It's just that there's a multiplicity of opinions. Can I ask what your mum thought about it when you kept your name? Was she still with us?
Horrified.
I knew it.
Horrified.
I should have put some money on that. I knew that she would, because that was a generational aberration.
Absolutely. And I have friends of a lot older than me who do not understand why I don't have the same name. And it's funny, actually, when my husband gets letters addressed to Mr. and his Christian name, but my surname, because people only know me.
Mm.
So we get invited to things like, to Mr. and Mrs., and they assume he's got the same name as me.
Yes, I guess society is still skewed in that way, isn't it? And sometimes it'll be computer software and what have you, but I like that. I think that's a really interesting triple generational journey from grandma, who obviously took your dad's name, horrified when you decided not to take your husband's name, and then granddaughter, just sort of bookending you, marrying a man who took her name. It's all there, apart from the double barrel, which there are obviously very good reasons for. I like this, and well done for putting your name at the top, because I very nearly did read it out. I for putting at the top, please withhold my name. I initially was happy to take my husband's name on marriage, but with all the official paperwork requirements, it made me feel that I had lost who I was. Becoming pregnant pretty soon after marriage, which was happily planned, the side effect of how society was then, I felt I had become totally invisible as I pushed the pram. That is an incredibly poignant message, person who will not be named, because it really resonates with me, and I think it really speaks to the seriousness of a subject that Jane recognised, and I hope I recognise, but which some people may miss. Oh, what's the big deal? Personal identity is the big deal. You have been known by this name all your life. I like the pledging of the troth. I like the public commitment of commitment. But why it involves anybody changing their name, I do not know. I love that line there. And I'm so sorry that you felt that way. But I completely understand it. You've really managed to get under my wire there. I must actually just delete your message, otherwise I'm going to say your name. Thank you. 25 after 12. Kerry's in Great Dunmow. Kerry, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I am 35 years old, just for context in terms of generational.
Yes.
I've always felt very strongly, even from quite a young age, I think, that I thought if I was to marry in the future that I would not take the man's name. I felt very strongly that, you know, exactly what you just said, it's my identity.
Yeah.
Why would I want to lose that? Why would I want to become somebody else? So that was kind of the base of it. As it's come to fruition now, there's a couple of more practical points, I think.
Yes.
I have my father's name. My parents weren't married, in fact, but my mum was happy for me to have my father's name.
Okay.
All of my father's brothers have daughters.
Right.
And so what you were saying about you perhaps using the O'Brien name, if we were all to marry and take our husband's names, then our family name would have died out.
Yes.
So that was one point. And the second point really...
Well, except it wouldn't have done, would it? Because I mentioned I was in Ireland at the weekend. It's very hard to be called O'Brien and to spend a weekend in Ireland thinking, oh,
yes,
my name's about to die out. You guys, off licences, pubs, restaurants, estate agents, bloody O'Briens everywhere.
True, true. That was very egotistical of me to think that I'm the one carrying that whole name.
Yes.
But just in a very personal sense.
Of course. And it's your line. It's your line of that name,
yeah,
isn't
absolutely.
It?
So we have a daughter now. She's 9 months old, and we actually decided to give her a double barreled name of both of our names.
Yes.
My husband was very on board with that.
And is it hyphenate? I don't know why this matters.
Yes.
You have gone for the hyphen.
We have, and
that's
I have
nice.
To say, James, I'm from a very working class background, so I never thought I'd have a child with a double barrel.
I like. I've got images of Les Dawson and Roy Barraclough. You're too young to remember they did two old ladies over the garden fence, and they'd be saying about you, Kerry, she's gone and got herself a hyphen. She's only gone and got herself a hyphen. Who does she think she is with a hyphen? Honestly.
Exactly. The last thing I would say about it, if you don't mind, is
of
that I'm a solicitor. And so I feel very strongly as well that I trained very hard to get the job that I have and become known to some extent in the professional world.
Yes.
And then to have lost that.
Exactly that in journalism as well, where your byline is your calling card. And I was always very surprised, taken aback by... and I think it was exclusively women. There may have been a couple of men. But when my generation changed their professional name, and if you're not changing your professional name, then you're not really changing your personal name either. It's staying the same. But you're right, you've worked hard to achieve a reputation. And you might only spend a year saying, no, I used to be James Smith and now I'm James O'Brien. I used to be Kerry whatever and now I'm Kerry whatever. But it is a year that you shouldn't, you know, a man never has to do that. It's coming up to 12:29. And that, I think I'm going to have to apologise for my double barrel comments, aren't I? Because, of course, if it's a child that is combining both names, it's quite lovely. And again, I've got this, what would you call it? Heterophobia, where my gay friends have done it, I thought it was lovely. And yet when my straight friends have done it, I thought, why have you done that then? But the answer's obvious. It's the best of both worlds. What happens though? Oh, hang on. Kerry, come back a minute. It's still there. What happens if your daughter falls in love with someone whose parents have done the same thing that you've done?
I've thought the same. They might end up with four. So they have to pick the best.
That's it. They can pick and choose. You can have one from mine and one from the other. I'll have four from the top and two from the bottom, please, Carol. It's 12:29. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where we're discussing social change, but so far from a simultaneously frivolous and serious perspective. I think that the presence of the word patriarchy in this conversation is absolutely essential, but so are the words personal choice. And I am a little bit confused, to the point perhaps of disapproving, of women who still want to take their husband's name, but much more so of men who really want their wife to take their name. And I can be really disapproving of those men because I used to be one, and I now see very, very, very clearly the error of my ways, partly because of the callers we've heard, and partly because of that message talking about feeling your own identity disappearing, and partly because of the great point we just heard about professional achievement, which, like it or not, is a much bigger factor in the lives of younger women than it was in the lives of their grandmothers and even perhaps their mothers. It is 12:30. Tim Humphrey has your headlines.
The head of the Unite Union has given her strongest warning yet that bin strikes in Birmingham could spread. Sharon Graham told LBC workers are paying the price for council's poor decisions. Steel suppliers are making their way from Immingham Port in Lincolnshire to Scunthorpe. Well, they'll keep blast furnaces going for a few more weeks. The UK government put in the order paid for out of existing budgets after it took control of decision-making on Saturday from British Steel's Chinese owners. Foreign Secretary David Lammy says we all want to see an end to the suffering in Sudan as he hosts a conference in London. The UK has announced a £120 million aid package for the country that has been in the middle of a civil war for 2 years. LBC weather, rain in the south. It will be most persistent in the southwest, drier in the north with sunny spells and a high of 18 degrees.
Addiction in the workplace is more common than you might think, and the impact on productivity can be staggering. Thanks to Bupa, Sheila Fogarty investigates the hidden addictions affecting people with businesses, from alcohol and vaping to gambling and drug addiction. Tomorrow, Sheila will be joined by the medical director at Bupa, Dr. Naveen Puri, to explore how employers can spot the signs of addiction and the best ways to offer support. That's tomorrow with Sheila Fogarty. I'm James O'Brien. It's 12:31.
This is LBC.
Global Player is home to fantastic podcasts like Theatre of Crime.
I'm Pearl Mackey, and this is Theatre of Crime. Join me as I dive into court transcripts, police records, and newspaper archives to decipher the truth behind this forgotten tale of sex, lies, and horror. Together, we'll examine the murder mystery that had Britain in its thrall.
Global Player. Download it now for free.
Ella's new Samsung Galaxy A56 5G. Awesome! Her prehistoric old phone that needed charging every hour. Not awesome. But now she's got a long-lasting battery, epic camera, and massive screen. Maximum awesome! Get all the awesome tech and none of the dinosaur phone issues with Galaxy A56 5G. Buy before 15th of April and claim a silicone case, 45-watt super fast charger, and Black Galaxy Fit 3. Bonus awesome! Claim from Samsung within 30 days of purchase. T's and C's apply.
This is the sound of a forehand shot. And this is the sound of a backhand shot. Hear the difference? Thankfully, some things are obvious. Like choosing Interactive Investor for your personal pension. As a Which-recommended SIP provider, with a low flat fee, and now £250 cash back when you sign up, the choice is obvious.
Advantage Wendy.
Search Interactive Investor Personal Pension. New SIP customers only. SIP values can fluctuate and you could get back less than you invest. T's and C's apply. Minimum £10,000 investment. Offer ends 30th of April.
Ali, how are
you? Who's up for busting a move? Fly from London to Spain from just £21.99 one way. Spend less than you thought on flights and more on the fun stuff, like kite surfing lessons. Grab some air. Fly low cost from the UK to over 80 incredible destinations, including Malaga. Book now at wizzair.com. Conditions apply.
This is LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
It is 12:33. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I love this, actually, from a friend of mine, but she's posted it on Blue Sky, so I don't think I'm betraying any secrets here. And it is one of the best names in the British media. Lucrezia Millarini, the ITV newscaster, says, "I never ever considered changing my name when I got married, and yet my mother-in-law insists on sending mail using my husband's surname," which she describes, I think, quite correctly as old school trolling. That's why I asked Jane about how her mum thought about it. I think probably, if push came to shove, my mum would very much have felt that my wife should do what she did when she got married. That's what we generally do, isn't it? We don't like being made to think that possibly what we did was wrong. You don't have to think about it too deeply, but why would you change it? We've always done things like that. But that first caller, Jane, said, because I didn't want to feel like I was owned by someone. And that is the message that, historically, the change of name sends to society. 12:34 is the time. I like this from Jonathan. Could your children possibly be looking at you with an expression tinged with the impatience of the next generation? That's what I was just trying to touch on there. Just it cuts both ways. So the older generation look a little askance at changes, at modernity. The younger generation are looking in the opposite direction and thinking, why do you do things like that? Why didn't everybody go double-barreled? Or why did anybody ever take their husband's name when they got married? And he goes on, my nephew in Denmark took his wife's surname last year. And I thought that was odd. But on reflection, there isn't any reason why he shouldn't. And that is what I hope this show achieves. You take that initial impulse, which is negative, well, that's a bit odd, or I don't like that, or I'm scared of that, or I'm angry about that, and then you think about it and you realise, I really shouldn't be feeling the way that I'm feeling about this. 12:35 is the time. Sophie's in Burgess Hill. Sophie, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. Hello, I'm Sophie. 36. I got married 10 years ago, and I took my husband's name. If I got married today, I wouldn't have taken his name.
Why not?
Because it's my name.
Yes.
And I didn't value its importance back then like I do now.
Gosh.
I'm a very strong-minded, independent woman. I love my husband. I wouldn't change the fact that I'm married to him at all. We have a fantastic relationship. He supports me in all of my endeavours, in all of my voices that I choose to take on board.
I understand.
But I didn't want to rock the boat any more than I already do.
You mean socially rather than familiarly? You just mean in the context of tradition and, quote, normality, end quote?
Exactly. I already have very strong opinions about how I raise my children, how I feel about society.
Sure.
I'm already incredibly vocal. And I just thought, you know what? I don't know if anybody else if people are going to tolerate any other opinion that I seem to have that's different to everybody else's.
When you say people, are we thinking of your in-laws at all at this point?
No, they're lovely. I was thinking more extended than that.
Okay.
My grandparents, perhaps, who, bless their hearts, aren't with us anymore. My husband's extended family. I didn't want to insult him. I didn't want anybody to. I don't know. It seems a bit silly, and my husband's probably listening to this at work right now. And I absolutely love him to bits. And
don't worry, you've established that, Sophie. There's no need to keep labouring that point. He knows.
Fair
he
enough.
Knows. It's clear. It's clear. And did he have views on it? Did you have a conversation about it, or did you literally just tick the box? Just went down the this is normal road.
I just thought, gosh, there's so much going on. There's so much that we're planning, and there's so much to deal with that I'm just going to shelve that for the moment. And
yes,
it was at the back of my mind. And I think when I got married, the wedding plans were different to what I would do now.
Sure.
I listened to lots of other people's opinions about what a wedding should be like and who you should invite and what you should be doing.
Yes.
And I generally didn't stop to think, do you know what? What do we want?
Well, who paid for it?
A mixture.
Yeah,
because
that is also relevant, because you find yourself inviting more of your parents' friends than your own friends, but that might have a lot to do with who's actually picking up the bill. And is it too late now? You couldn't sort of... I mean, you didn't keep it in some context, didn't keep it at work, but not keep it at home or anything like that. You went all in.
I went all in. I mean, the only reason I think about it more now is because we have two young children, and you explain the world to them as they grow up, don't
you? Yes, you do indeed.
You go through the different aspects of life, and they ask, why is this like this, and why is this like that? And I'm getting to that point where these
questions are being answered.
I'm the same though. When mine say to me, "Why did you want Mum to take your name, you weirdo?" And I have to say, I honestly don't know, darling. It was just what was done, and I felt like a bigger pledge of commitment. I don't know why, but I did, and now I don't. So I'm the same as you, albeit from the other side of the issue.
There are lots of reasons why I try to show my children that Mum and Dad are equals. And exactly. We do that very well within the household.
Yes.
But then you watch programs on TV like this Adolescence, and I'm trying to distill to my son, who's 6 years old, that Mum is as important and women are as important.
Wow.
And me having his name doesn't quite transmit that message to me.
Ah, wow. I hear you. I mean, you're clearly going to do a cracking job of conveying the message anyway, but it does have an echo of patriarchy, and patriarchy involves either at the very least the kind of subjugation or inferiority of women, and the idea that men have dominion over them. And as with all the things I talked about at the top of this hour, these are some of these battles are battles that we thought had been won, but then, you know, up pop the likes of Donald Trump and other elements of the far right, who often have as part of their so-called ideology, they will often have subjugation of women, and you can see it in the so-called trad wife movement, of which I would say not taking your husband's name when you get married is the polar opposite social position. Sophie, thank you. I don't sound patronising, but don't beat yourself up. I mean, it's a relatively easy obstacle to get over when you're explaining it to your children, I have found, and I'm doing it from the point of view of being the silly sausage who thought it was important. Teresa is in Dorchester. Teresa, what would you like to say?
Just echoing James, a lot of what your previous callers have said, I got married over 35 years ago, and I kept my surname, and I suppose it was just because I couldn't see any reason why I wouldn't keep my surname.
Which was a less common position at that time, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, my mum, being an Irish Catholic mum, was absolutely petrified that my children would be seen as being illegitimate.
Oh, gosh, of course. Well, that's part of it. We've missed that element of it, haven't we?
Yeah. And the other thing as well, I said to your producer that for me, my bugbear is the Miss, Mrs., Ms., that as females we have to go through. You know, I never, when I got married, I, you know, absolutely insist that I just used MS.
Yes.
So I've never, ever, and as my daughters, I really, really always try and encourage them never to use the Miss and Mrs. or it, because why does it matter? You know, men are always missed.
Well, it was code to tell society whether or not you were available or not, I suppose.
Exactly.
Wasn't it?
Exactly.
Which is, pretty grim.
It is.
Because it means your value, your identity is determined only by your sexual availability almost, or your marital availability to a man.
Exactly. But even now, you know, I'm still constantly asked, you know, when you get up, you know, when you're doing car insurance, whether you're doing anything, you know, are you Miss, Mrs., Mr., or, and as I say, it's very, very, it's wrong.
No, I get it. And the problem is, I think we've all been very nice today, but you don't want to feel as if you're putting the boot into people who have made the decision to go the other way. I mean, Sophie, the main representative so far of that position, and she regrets her decision. But you don't really want someone who's sitting there today, recently married, listening to this, relishing in the new name and the new married bliss, to feel judged or condescended to or looked down on. But I guess, you know, then you're going to have to answer the question of why didn't he take your name? Why did you have to do it that way around? A lot of jokers out there today. I've got David, who wishes he'd taken his wife's name because then he would have been David Niven. I've got Gary Burton, who still hasn't forgiven his mum for not calling him Richard. But I guess we'll have to do this one from Matt, who's in Stockport. Your surname discussion reminds me of an old joke from the Solent area. If Isla Blair married Barry White and changed her name, she'd have become Isla White, which is true. And then when Barry died, had she married Brian Ferry but decided to keep both names in order to honour her late husband, she'd have become the Isla White Ferry. That's quite good. I quite like that. But there are quite a few variations on this gag that you are sharing me, which I have to check. Yeah, okay, so this one's fine. Imagine if, because you're going to try and smuggle something filthy past me and you'll get me to read it out on the radio and then you'll all start laughing at me and I'll get into trouble with Ofcom. So I have to double check I'm not being tempted into saying something fruity. I think this one is all right. Imagine if the Dutch footballer Denzel Dumfries were married the former MP George Galloway's daughter and that they went double-barreled. Well, they'd need an anand, wouldn't they, rather than an ampersand rather than a hyphen. It'd be Dumfries and Galloway. I like that. That's strong. It's another Teresa. Get that, two Teresas. And we've got... Oh, hang on. I'll let Teresa tell her story first and then I'll read a couple of the texts inspired by the trolling mother-in-law. Teresa in Rutland, what would you like to say?
So I'm turning 60 next month.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Married nearly 40 years.
Yeah.
Never even entered my head to change my name.
No.
I had a career, everything was going really well. Husband would have liked me to have had his name, but totally accepted it.
And did that dissipate? I mean, 5 years later, would he have been like, I don't know why I cared?
He did, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
he just,
same here.
However, my mother-in-law, uh-oh, to this day, still has a problem with it.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, yeah. If she can get a niggle in about me not changing my name, she will.
She's had 40 years to get used to it.
Doesn't matter.
No, you're right. It doesn't matter. And could we put into words why? I mean, there's two elements to this. One I can see clearly, which is the kind of implicit criticism people feel when younger people do something differently. I think all parents sometimes think, well, that means that you think I'm an idiot for doing what I did. But is there anything else to it?
No, just more of a controlling. She had a very set expectations of how people should live, how you get married, how you have to do certain things. And the fact that we totally ignored her...
Subversive, Teresa.
Yes.
There you go,
yeah.
You see. Whatever next, if you're not going to take his name, you'll be burning your bra next or going to Greenham Common or something like that.
I brought my son up to be a feminist, so good. Yeah, I carried on the tradition.
I love it. Of course, your husband's surname wasn't Green, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, all right, sorry. Just checking, Teresa. It's 12:45.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty.
Are we too soft on the worst criminals and too hard on people who can more readily be rehabilitated?
Sheila Fogarty on LBC.
You're planning a new bathroom, driveway, whole house rewiring, delete is appropriate, and you want it to be bang on, perfection, all that in a bag of chips, also delete is appropriate. You need the Trusted Trader professionals. Head to TrustedTrader.com and find reputable, reviewed tradespeople in your area who've all passed the Trusted Trader 15-point assessment. The cat's pyjamas. When it matters, Trusted Trader. TrustedTrader.com.
My crystal ball tells me you'll meet a mysterious man with a spooky way of talking. You will give him money. Thank you. Then you'll see a sign.
Ooh. What sign?
That one there, with exit on it.
This isn't fair. I want my money back.
Not seeing you getting your money back.
What a rip-off.
Now, how did I know you were going to say that?
Don't leave your future to chance. At Skipton, we believe in fairness, so we offer free money advice to help you plan ahead. Skipton Building Society. Founded on fairness.
Risk lurks unseen in workplaces, but with the right safety gear, you're ready. Arco. Chance nothing. Find out more at arco.co.uk.
This Easter at Lidl, we won't be beaten on price on our pick of the week veg. That's 2 kilograms of potatoes, a bag of parsnips, green beans or carrots, a swede, a bunch of spring onions, all for just 15p each. Now that's big on quality and always Lidl on price.
Subject to availability, selected stores, GB only. See lidl.co.uk/spendless for details.
Ella's new Samsung Galaxy A56 5G. Awesome! Her prehistoric old phone that needed charging every hour. Not awesome. But now she's got a long-lasting battery, epic camera and massive screen. Maximum awesome. Get all the awesome tech and none of the dinosaur phone issues with Galaxy A56 5G. Buy before 15th of April and claim a silicone case, 45-watt super fast charger and Black Galaxy Fit 3. Bonus awesome. Claim from Samsung within 30 days of purchase. T's and C's apply.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £34 million.
Now that calls for a dance.
Do I have to?
You can limbo. That's it.
With these moves, I might just hit the jackpot.
Very good.
Get that Euro Millions feeling tonight. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
For simple, fuss-free pet insurance policies for cats and dogs, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
For actual pickles, try the supermarket.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with James O'Brien.
I'm getting all the jokes now. So it's a very serious grown-up radio show, this. If Whoopi Goldberg married Peter Cushing and decided to take his name, about 30 people have sent me that joke. It's an interesting one, actually. And I don't know that the man taking the wife's name is an antidote to the sort of patriarchal tradition. I'm not quite sure, but I did promise you, even before 10 o'clock this morning, when I was doing that little talk-up at the end of Nick's time, before the 10 o'clock news, I told you that there was a danger that the unhinged headline feature had been broken today because of a headline so unhinged that it perhaps means we can't go back there again. We will, I'm sure, but I doubt we'll ever scale heights quite as dizzy as the ones we're about to scale. And I need to thank Peter, not Peter Cushing, for reminding me unintentionally that I hadn't shared with you this today's unhinged headline, because Peter sent me the most unhinged text that I've received in a very long time. And it was while reading that I remembered I hadn't done the unhinged headline. Would you like to hear the unhinged text from Peter? He writes, "Why are you so determined to change everything God has put in place? God is the head. Man represents God as head of house. Then female is next, head followed by the children. With God there is an order. It's not anything goes." You missed out the apostrophe there, Peter, on "its," which I think is pretty close to blasphemous in the context of grammar pedants. And he finishes, "That's the satanic way that you guys are pushing." Can we get that as a jingle or as an advert? Can we get James O'Brien pushing the satanic way since 2005? And anyway, I have, as promised, got you a headline now that's almost as unhinged as Peter's text.
Unhinged headline.
Oh, that sounds good. It's Liz Truss. Who would publish anything by Liz Truss? All together now? Daily Telegraph. She's too nuts even for the Mail. Headline, and it's on the online bit. It's not the headline that they used in the actual newspaper. You ready for this? "Trump has been proven right about pretty much everything." I'll say that again. "Trump has been proven right about pretty much everything." I often suggest to you that some issues have ceased to be political and become psychological. And Donald Trump, as we've established, is very much in that category. So as he continues to, rinse the media, rinse the educational establishment, rinse the judiciary, threatens to deport actual Americans to foreign gulags, refuses to try to bring back a man who's been deported to El Salvador by accident. Just the evidence upon evidence upon evidence, the tariffs, which made Liz Truss look briefly like the second most ill-advised economic policy of the last 10 years, last 20 years, last 50 years. I don't know how. I don't know what the payoff is. Does she get a gig now on these weird speaking circuits that Farage is on? I just don't know what it is, but there you go. And the other thing she does is claim that the last 20 years and beyond have been disastrous for the United Kingdom, where I could be wrong about this, but I think if you go back to 2010, she spent more time in the cabinet between 2010 and 2024 than any other Tory. And yet, it's all about how dreadful everything was for the period of time in which she spent more time in the cabinet than any other politician. But anyway, that is why I was a little worried that we might have reached the end of the road regarding
Unhinged Headline.
But we'll be back. We'll be back. David's in Yeovil. David, what would you like to say?
Hello, James.
Hello, David.
Just to put a little perspective on changing your name, I took my wife's name 19 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, unusual, I guess, but, there were good reasons why I did that. But since then, on a number of occasions, what I have noticed, when it's come up in conversation, you've not always been called that. No, okay. Well, so why did you change your name?
Yeah.
You know, Well, people look at you with suspicion, you know, that you know, you've changed your name because you want to hide your identity.
You're trying to escape from your criminal past. I had to change my name. It was witness protection or something like that. But what were the good reasons? Why did you, if you don't mind me asking?
It's a lot more mundane than that, really. Basically, my prospective wife had recently got divorced.
Okay.
And went back to her original maiden name.
Yes.
And I didn't want my prospective new wife to have the same name as my ex-wife.
Right.
Because I didn't want there to be any confusion in my head or anybody else's. You know, I didn't want anybody muddling
the two up. So your ex-wife kept your name after you divorced?
Well, no.
Or there was a chance she was going to. Or you didn't, even if she didn't, you didn't want them. They didn't have the same first name, did they, David?
No.
Because that would explain your position even more strongly, wouldn't it? Is that you just swap one out for.
yeah. And it just seemed to me to be, you know, well, it would have been awful, you know, for me to be for my new wife to take.
I like
that.
That's really thoughtful of you. And were there any difficulties, I mean, professionally, to suddenly start going by a new name, or did you split yourself? Did you go by a new name personally and stick to the old name professionally, or
no? I just
all in.
I completely transformed everything. And
what about all your monogrammed handkerchiefs, David?
Yeah,
I couldn't do this. I've got my monogrammed slippers at home. What am I going to do with those? I've got a new name.
I mean, but it still comes up now.
I bet it does. Well, it is odd. It's odd. I mean, you're odd in just the sense as against the common herd, in the same way that the older women who decided to keep their name against much resistance, or when it was not normal or accepted. I like that. That's a really good reminder, if anybody needed it, that it is a little bit silly to start prescribing on this issue about what is right and what is wrong, because in the modern world there are so many different variations and flavours of family and marriage. And I loved the I think it was from Lynn, I've deleted it for some reason, talking about how her mother-in-law still uses the married name when, and both aunts-in-law as well, still using the married name when communicating, birthday cards, Christmas cards, when she never ever uses it, hasn't used it in decades of marriage. But mums, I guess, particularly perhaps mums of boys, would feel that there was some sort of affront involved in not taking the name. I don't know. Thank you, David. Rebecca is in Peterborough. Rebecca, what would you like to say?
Hi, I'm a little bit nervous.
It's only me.
I'm 35 for context, and I got married about a year and a half ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We've been together quite a long time, but just got married a year and a half ago. And I fully intend to take his surname. The paperwork's kind of put me off so far. I keep pushing it further back, but I do want to, and I can't explain why. There isn't really a reason. I just kind of would like us to have the same name.
But not yours?
Yeah. I did ask him before we got married. I said, you know, would you change your name? And he didn't really want to, which I don't have an issue with, because he also doesn't feel that I should change my name. You know, it's very much my
choice. So it's a bit like what you're presenting to the world as a unit. Is that it, sort of, or not?
I think so, but the reason, I think, as well, it's taken me so long is I'm being a bit awkward about mine, so I'll have to go through deed poll, because I want to keep my maiden name, but I can't double barrel. I'm from the northeast. I'm working class. It's just in my mind.
We're back to Les Dawson and Rose. She's got a hyphen.
It's
Rebecca. She's only gone and got herself a hyphen. I can't believe some people, honestly, airs and graces and hyphens.
I have no issue with it for other people, but I just it's not for me.
So what do you have to do? I can't...
Because I want to put my maiden name as an additional middle name.
Okay.
So to do that, it has to go through deed poll, because I don't want to get rid of it, but
No, I get it, but you don't want to be known by it anymore either. And will it have any professional repercussions? Do you have to sort of...
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a musician, so a lot of it's built on kind of...
I nearly made a joke then about how if you've got 5 best-selling albums under one name and you're going to release the next one under a new name, you're going to lose a lot of your followers. I had no idea you were a musician.
I wish, but...
Yeah, sure, of course. Right, you're still young, Rebecca.
Yeah, well, so professionally speaking, yes. I still go by right. my maiden name.
And you kind of have to, because people, people want to buy a ticket to an artist that they recognise.
Yeah, or even just, you know, contacts that you know in the industry, people that I've known for a long time, they won't think to call that new surname because they have no context of who that is. It's quite similar, it's tricky, I imagine, to a journalist.
Yes, exactly that, I think. Exactly that, a byline. I love that, Rebecca. Thank you. I think we've covered almost everything there with old David in Taunton, especially bringing in a really unique perspective. I really enjoyed that conversation. Maybe we should spend a little bit more time in the shallow end than we do, instead of just at 12 o'clock on Fridays. It is coming up to 12:59. If you missed any of today... Actually, it wasn't the shallow end, was it, in the end? It was actually quite a serious conversation about all manner of issues, but without much prospect of any of us having a scrap. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player, where you can also pause and rewind live radio, as well as listen to a range of podcasts, including James O'Brien Daily, the best bits of my show in 60 minutes, every day. Download it now for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com. I've done this in the style of the bloke on the Aer Lingus flight back from Dublin yesterday who was reading through the terms and conditions of at a speed I mean absolutely breakneck speed. So I thought this is a little tribute to him. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's Tom Sawbrick, but now it's Sheila Fogarty.
You should listen to the now sadly late Micheál O'Hare at commentating on horse racing.
Yes.
Never beaten.
I'm familiar with his work. I think Henry Riley could have a go at commentating.
Yes, he could.
Training.
He could.
Don't you think?
I do. I've had this
conversation with him a few times, but he's so far not interested.
Yeah, he's got a voice that needs a lip mic
hasn't he? It's so true. God.
Oh, dear. Thank you, James.
Thank you,
have a lovely afternoon. Now, 36 years ago today, an avoidable tragedy happened at Hillsborough Football Stadium, ultimately killing 97 people and sparking a despicable and, of course, for the victims and families, excruciating 3 decades of injustice. One of the ugliest things about our country is at the heart of this Hillsborough story, the state riding roughshod over citizens. Citizens who can't match their power, especially in the courts. It is a source of unending pride to me that the people of my home city, but especially the families, matched it and revealed it. If Keir Starmer thinks he can water down the Hillsborough law, he will have a fight on his hands and he will lose it.
On your radio, on Global Player, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, the race to keep the blast furnaces burning at British Steel in Scunthorpe appears to be reaching a conclusion. Raw material supplies have now docked in Lincolnshire. Our reporter Alex Taylor-Brown has the latest.
Iron ore and coking coal will be transported from the ships at the port of Immingham, about 20 miles east of Scunthorpe. The Department for Business and Trade says the money to buy them has come from its existing budget. Chinese owners Jingye had reportedly refused to pay for the material.
Police investigating an explosion at a house in Nottinghamshire on Saturday in which a man died have arrested a man on suspicion of murder. David Howard's body was recovered from the debris in Worksop. A 43-year-old has been questioned and bailed. LBC's Paul Bradbury has the latest.
Detective Chief Inspector Ruby Burrow of Nottinghamshire Police is leading the case and says the team is keeping an open mind at this early stage. She's urged the public not to speculate, emphasising the importance of understanding what led to the deeply tragic incident. Nottinghamshire Fire and Rescue Service are also continuing to investigate alongside the police.
A union leader has told LBC that bin strikes could absolutely spread beyond Birmingham. The indefinite walkout is continuing after members of Unite voted to reject a new council pay offer yesterday. LBC's Luke Shanahan is in the city.
Every journey through the city reveals another few mounds of waste or fly-tipped furniture. At last reckoning, Birmingham streets were under more than 21,000 tonnes of rubbish.
Birmingham City Council says the offer on the table is fair. Pontin's parent company has been charged with corporate manslaughter following the death of Wendy Jones in Somerset in 2019. Part of a ceiling collapsed inside an entertainment area at the Breen Sands Park. 18 other people were injured. Victims of the Horizon IT scandal are being urged to take the government to court over compensation delays. In an email, Sir Alan Bates believes it will take another 2.5 years to complete every claim, arguing legal action is the quickest way to ensure fairness. The government rejects that, saying claimants who respond promptly should receive payouts by the end of this year. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 68 points at 82.02. The pound buys $1.32 and €1.17. LBC weather, rain in the south. It will be most persistent in the southwest, where there are yellow warnings. Dry in the north with sunny spells and a high of 18 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Tim Humphrey.
This is the sound of Steve saving on his energy bills. And this is the sound of all his neighbours and his street saving too. With British Gas, millions of homes could save more by switching to one of our fixed tariffs. And with Peak Save, you could save even more with half-price electricity every Sunday between 11am and 4pm. Search British Gas tariffs and see if you could save now. Eligibility and T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Sheila Fogarty.
Hello there, good afternoon to you. I was mentioning in the talk up there at the end of James's programme that we're going to be talking from two about Hillsborough. It's 36 years to the day since the Hillsborough tragedy. And you'll know if you listen to the programme a lot that it is a story that I have followed, and it has almost followed me really every day of my career since, in all kinds of